Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are, and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope you enjoyed and benefited from making the connections between Genesis and Exodus last time. Whenever I come to the Word of God, I am eager to see how what God communicates to us in one part of His Word is reiterated in another passage. Drawing lines from one text to another part of the text is essential to grasp the meaning of the text as a whole. And when we study Genesis 2 and Exodus 25 through 28, we find that the garden in Eden is a tabernacle of God. The garden in Eden is a primitive tabernacle of God. Eden foreshadows the tabernacle. Eden predicts the tabernacle. We have the garden of God and the tabernacle of God up front, there in the beginning of the Bible in the Pentateuch. We should read Exodus in light of Genesis, take them together. And our takeaway was this: God has made us to have fellowship with us. God has made both man and woman to have fellowship with man and woman, to meet with us, to walk with us, and to talk with us, and to listen to us as well. We are made for relationship with God. I pray you have a good relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today we move down in Genesis 2 to verse 15. Let me read this for us. Genesis 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." As a reminder, this verse sounds very similar to verse 8 that we have already studied. Man was brought by God into the garden in Eden. And now that man is in the garden that God has made, let's focus on the end of verse 15 and see the purpose for which man is put there. The detail of this verse will actually produce more than one purpose for man in the garden. We'll get to these. But the first one, and the most obvious, when you think about it, is this: man was made for work. Man was made for work. Let's discuss. Most times, not all times, there are exceptions, but most times I talk with men and women about work, they are not happy. Let me put it to you this way. Most people prefer just doing nothing over just doing their job. Work is seen as a kind of necessary evil that gets you to the weekend with some money. Isn't it true that you prefer Saturday and Sunday over Monday? How many people look at the clock sometime late Sunday afternoon and begin calculating how few hours of freedom and joy and time with family they have left before, cue the doom, work begins first thing Monday morning? And when the alarm rings Monday, do you jump out of bed, rush through your preparations because you just cannot wait to work? Well, most of you, I doubt it. I mean, you poll every, let's say, 9.5 out of every 10 adults on that, and you'll find that most people do not want to rush out of bed for work. As I said, there are exceptions, and you may be one of them. You so love what you do that you might even be a workaholic who has taken your work home with you for the weekend. I know several people like this. Of course, some work the weekends because they have no choice. Others like to go to work because their home life is so awful. Well, work. Now, when I say man was made for work, you might think, really? This sounds bad. You would prefer the Bible taught man was made for sitting around, doing nothing. Man was made for video games. Man was made for TV and the movies. Man was made for the beach. And man was made for eating and drinking and sleeping. Man was made for sex. But for work? Yes, According to God, one of the reasons God made man and put man in the garden was so that man would work in the garden. And in case you are wondering why I have not mentioned woman yet, that is because she is not yet created in Genesis 2:15. This verse says, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." And we're going to come to the details of what the words cultivate and keep mean, but taken together, one thing they definitely mean is work. And note, this is work that needs to be done before sin enters the world. You might be of the mindset that work comes as a result of sin. You think, yes, after Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden tree, work. You would cite Genesis chapter 3 and the curse God puts on man as a result of the fall. It makes sense that work is now so hard. This comes as a result of sin and its curse. But Genesis 2 comes before Genesis 3. And in Genesis 2, we have a still sinless man, and God commands him to cultivate and keep the garden. The perfect world includes work, more specifically service. The perfect world is not one of idleness, holiday, laziness, lethargy, and loafing around doing nothing. It is not that. The perfect world is one of work and service. Do you want even more biblical proof? In addition to Genesis 2:15, listen to Revelation 22, verse 3. Genesis 2:15 reflects the perfection of the garden in Eden. Revelation 22 reflects the perfection of heaven. I'm reading the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 22, verse 3. "There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bond servants will serve him." Notice the word serve. There is no longer any curse. The curse God put on us due to our sin is gone, and his bond servants will serve him. That is, God's servants will not be sitting around with angels on clouds, just chilling out. No, we will be actively serving, working, if you will, for God. In heaven, there is work. Here are the wise words of one of our favorite commentators on Genesis, H.C. Leupold, quote, "The ideal state of sinless man is not one of indolence without responsibility. Work and duty belong to the perfect state," unquote. The garden was a place of responsibility, and so is heaven. Aren't you curious as to what you will be doing in heaven forever and ever, Christian? I am too, and we shall see what our jobs will be when we get there one sweet day. One thing we know for sure, we will be busy, and in perfect bodies we will never for one second get tired or bored. Indeed, heaven is the perfect place, and we shall serve our God. Let me just say that I think it's quite possible for us to get a small taste of work being a pleasure rather than a burden, even here and now. Maybe you will be able to relate to me on this, maybe not, but you can think about it here midweek. Isn't it true that when we complete a task that we believe God has given us to do, that we feel a deep level of satisfaction? If you believe that your work has been given to you by God, if you can look around your human boss and see God as boss, if you do your work as unto the Lord, then as you get your job done, doesn't that feel good? I think I have told you before that when I was a young teenager, I went to work in the produce department of my local grocery store. For those of you in the Boston area, this was Purity Supreme, which later was sold to Stop and Shop. I was employed to stock fruits and vegetables, and I loved it. Thankfully, when I was young and in church, my pastor taught me that God commanded my work be done as unto God. God was really my supervisor and not the produce department manager. So I took that mentality to the store, and having been blessed with a strong work ethic, I set out to be the best worker I could be. And I still remember this as if it happened this morning. the pleasure I took when I built a display case full of fruit or vegetables. One of my favorite projects is when I was tasked to build a large display of oranges. My colleagues and I pulled this off using empty banana boxes, some wire stands, and we even built into the display a waterfall. Unloading box after box of oranges from Florida and stacking them in a certain order, and then standing back and looking at what I had done gave me great satisfaction. And work didn't seem like work. This was fun. This was enjoyable. In fact, I'd do it all over again if I could. Anybody have some oranges that need to be displayed? I was reminded of this as I read the following from another commentator, W.H. Griffith Thomas. Quoting now, "Work which is not toil and trouble always gives pleasure." This is true. Work which is not toil and trouble always gives pleasure. That is how it was in the garden in Eden, and that is how it will be in heaven, and for at least some of us, some of the time, that is how it is here on earth. Man was made for work, and that is why sometimes we catch a taste of the joy of work, even in this sin-scarred world. But again, when God plants man in the garden, the first purpose is so that man will cultivate and keep the garden. This is work to be done in a perfect environment. What are some other purposes for man being in the garden? Well, we're going to get into that starting tomorrow. And to do this, we want to take a closer look at what the words cultivate and keep mean. So be prepared for a fascinating word study. You may be on your way to work or on your way home from work. Hey, you might even be at work right now. Will you consider doing your work as unto the Lord? I hope that we both will, and in this context, find pleasure in serving God. Join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.